Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are plowing through August, almost done.
Almost done.
I think about one more show.
Zip by. It must go a little faster for you.
Yeah, it goes a lot because I'm on the West Coast, so the sun goes around a different speed.
Right, and you're older.
Yeah.
You're not much older, but older.
Older enough.
Well, let's talk about markets for a moment. Back to the sideways chop. It's kind of like a menu item at a steakhouse. The sideways chop. Buyers kind of absorbing selling action. We had an interesting thing happening yesterday, which was Monday, where we had a what's called a trend reading. It's the kind of the selling pressure, the buying pressure. There's a few different things that go into that. But essentially, we had this kind of high trend reading, which is usually associated with market sell-offs. But what happened is the markets weren't really moving lower. They moved a little bit lower. And
Where does this rating, where does this little indicator come from? What's it, does it stand for anything?
It's the I could find out. It's the Trin. I know what it is. It's by a famous guy that set this up. Let's see. It's also called the Arms Index. It's Richard Arms back in the 60s. He calculated this, and basically what he looks for, it's kind of like, in a way, when you look at the advanced decliners also, it's the breadth of the market. So you look at the breadth statistics from the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ. It can be calculated using a variety of statistics from the S&P, but it acts like an oscillator, and it's used to identify these short-term overbought or oversold situations. What was interesting, though, is that the trend was going higher, meaning there was selling pressure. It's kind of an upside down index.
Right.
And, but yet the market wasn't moving. So, you know, what's happening there? You have all this, you know, stock selling, the decliners picking up pretty dramatically, but yet the market's not selling off. Now that could be because of things like, well, the large caps, the ones that make up the market in the S&P 500, which is a market cap weighted index, is they're not doing anything. You know, the Microsofts and the Facebooks and, you know, the ExxonMobils, all those names. But it was interesting yesterday, and I saw somebody note this in the mid part of the morning when the S&P was down maybe 0.5%. And they said, you know what? The stock market's not really going anywhere for this high trend reading or the arms index reading. And they said, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a short squeeze from here. And lo and behold, markets finished essentially unchanged on the day.
Huh.
And which was also interesting that Hong Kong last night changed, I think it was like 0.01 or 0.1 differential. It was down by like just ever so slight amount. It's like somebody's trying to keep the markets at the zero line or above.
Propped up.
Yeah.
Who would that someone be and why?
Him, them, those people. I don't know. I don't know who they are.
Those guys.
Yeah, those guys. It reminds me of like Best Buy. Best Buy, for the longest time, even though they had bad earnings, the stock was down on a bad earnings number of about 8%, 7%. By the mid part of the day, it's down 5%. And then it starts climbing after that the next number of days. Till the next earnings report comes out, it's bad earnings report, and it's down 8% or 7% or 10%. And it starts climbing back. Well, today, they blew out earnings, and it was up 19%. So it's kind of like, you know, nobody wants to really sell. It's like nobody's really selling their shares. Or maybe it's because
we've seen this phenomenon a number of times over the past few years.
Well, what does it mean?
There's nothing else to do with your money.
And people aren't selling.
Yeah, they're not selling. The money's kind of stale. And it's like, well, I don't see any. I think if there was a huge panic right now and everybody started really dumping and the market went down huge for a couple of days in a row, everyone would be selling.
Well, it has to be a catalyst. And while we could probably think about, probably right now, if we started thinking about all the potential headwinds and catalysts that can cause a market decline, things that are here or on the horizon or things that have occurred, we could probably list 50, Don't you think?
Yeah. Well, 50, yeah, it's a lot, but I think we list quite a few.
All right. 30. But, you know, from currency headwinds to the Japanese and the Chinese fighting over the China Sea, North Korea sending off a ballistic missile, you know, Zika virus or not. Or, you know, right there, just what I do, 4 or 5 already. Earnings issues. Anyway, point is that markets don't want to go down right now. Now, in the face of bad news, the saying goes, if markets don't go down, well, they're just going to go up, obviously.
Yes.
And it looks like there's a magnet towards the 2,200 level in the S&P. Somebody wants to tag this. Now, we have the setup going like this. We have markets going sideways, consolidating, good employment numbers and all that. Friday, we have Janet Yellen headlining.
And here she is, ladies and gentlemen,
doing her song and dance at the Jackson Hole Economic Confab on Friday. She's speaking, I believe, in the morning.
Oh God!
Yep. So I think it's in the morning, maybe in the afternoon. But she's speaking at Jackson Hole. She skipped, I think, last year for whatever reason. People are like, why is she skipping? Now, in between all this, Fed speakers have been out with commentary about, you know, we think it's about time that we need to raise rates. You know, we've heard this before. Markets don't seem to care. Bonds don't seem to care. Right now, the credibility of what the Fed says is nothing until Janet Yellen, the one and only, the headliner, she speaks. And the big question is, you know, we know she's very dovish. Will she have any hawkish commentary at all with all the good news about the economics, the earnings, all that, do you think?
No, I don't think.
So the question is gold and silver going to be in play on that commentary, on that, you know, that show?
Oh, that's an interesting thing, yeah.
Because if she is even more dovish, or at least as dovish, I mean, you can see gold and silver skyrocketing again.
That's an interesting idea.
Now, with that, we've been seeing some good economic numbers. Again, going into this news conference or this speech that she's going to do, we've seen the economics actually be okay. You know, some things missed a little bit. The market manufacturing was a little soft, but nothing terrible. We saw an impressive, I mean, a double top impressive July new home sales. 654,000 versus 580. What are you talking? 75,000. Month over month change of 12.5%.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm noticing houses around here going up for sale just to take advantage of the situation.
Yeah, we'll see existing home sales, I think, tomorrow. I think it's tomorrow. But so is the new home sales, do you think that everybody's like, oh my God, you know what? Here we go again. Interest rates really low. Let's just get this over with at this point.
You know, I've decided at some point that the real estate market is separate from the stock market to such a degree that I don't even think they relate to each other, except for the 2008 situation, which was because the housing market had tied itself to the stock market by developing these bonds and these packages. Generally speaking, that's not something that normally goes on. So, I don't know.
Do you think it's possible there is a tie-in that if people feel really good about the fact that their portfolios are up, let's say that somebody has a portfolio of, let's just say, $100,000 back a few years ago, maybe it's now worth $150,000. They're like, well, yeah, let's take some of that money and buy a house.
Usually if somebody, what you just described, that person has a house.
Oh. Well,
so that person that you're describing would have to say, hey, we made some money here. Let's sell our house and buy another house. Not necessarily. I'm not seeing the connection as much as you are.
Well, where are the new home sales coming from?
I think there are some jobs that I think it's mostly from the low interest rates, but I think a lot of people have finally put two and two together and realized that, because there people are around here, they're doing something with their money on a monthly basis. They're either paying rent or they're paying a mortgage off. And most of them are paying rent. And at some point, especially around here, where the rents are like $4,000 a month, people are starting to say, can we just maybe get a group together, save up some money, let's buy some, buy a house or something, just add to our commute is the only problem, because at least around here, the houses being built are not being built close to anything.
But also, I think you were getting at that the possibility of more employment is helping out. I think you were going to mention that, right? I'm not sure, but that's
I think I had it in there. I think it is. I'm in an area where it's highly employed.
Right. Right.
There's a boom, but in the middle of, I don't know, Omaha, I don't think that's necessarily the case.
Now, speaking,
I'd like to know where these houses are, where all these, where all this activity is. I don't know.
North Dakota? No.
No, I don't think so. That's done.
Don't forget, it's new home sales. You also have a bunch of, it's not just a house. It could be a condo.
Yes. Good.
And all of those could be in Miami Beach from the way things look with the cranes down here. I mean, it's crazy. As a matter of fact, I got a note the other day from someone who asked me to sign a petition to put in front of the council, I guess, of Fort Lauderdale or maybe Broward County, Florida, to put a moratorium on building east of, I think it was east of US 1. That would not be, maybe it was east of 95. But anyway, whatever it may be, there's just a tremendous amount of homes or an apartment
complex. Florida is so susceptible to these little things.
Right.
It's just a...
Everything happens in Florida.
A lot of it does, that's for sure.
Yep. But what I was going to also ask you was, maybe with people employed, this Best Buy thing I thought was interesting. See, they beat estimates by 14%, 14 cents. They beat on revenue, they got it in line, the revenues are above consensus, and they raised their fiscal year 2017 profit guidance.
Yeah.
Now, I was wondering, how is Best Buy all of a sudden doing so well?
I have no idea.
I was thinking.
Have they changed anything? Have you been to a store recently?
I went to a store to buy something. It was like a little something.
A wire?
Yeah, it was nothing major. It was maybe... I think I tried on some headphones so I could buy them on Amazon. I wanted to see what they sounded like. There was something else I was trying to buy. I don't know what it was. It was nothing major. Oh, I know it. This is a while ago. That was that Sony TV I bought. But that was a while ago. I was thinking, is it possible that due to the smartphone upgrade cycle that, and we saw that Apple did not sell as many smartphones or Macs and all that were, from the past. Is it possible that there's a saturation in the smartphone market to a point that people are now saying, well, instead of spending my money on that, I'm going to go and maybe buy some other electronics that I want. Because I don't know what else this...
Like what?
A new pair of headphones or, I don't know, a new PC? I don't know. I don't know what else they sell there.
They sell... I don't know. I have to go to one and see what they're up to. I mean, they sell washing machines, I think.
They used to sell... I mean, they got rid of a lot of that stuff. A lot of the appliances...
So maybe they don't sell washing machines anymore, so maybe they're doing better. I don't know. I have to go. Now you've got my curiosity. I'll go visit a Best Buy and see what the heck's going on there.
Right. Let's talk about over the weekend. Very interesting happening over the weekend. Actually, last week, if you recall, I don't know if we talked about this, that the Saudi oil minister had said that, I think we talked about this last show.
Yes, we did.
He said, hey, oil prices are dropping. Just want to let everybody know that we are going to look into a production freeze, an output freeze. And oil went up like 18% in the matter of days. Major short squeeze.
Yeah, very good.
Okay, nice job. Nicely done. So now, you go about 4 or 5 days and things are going just fine. Oil gets to, it's to about $50. And over the weekend, Iraq says, hey, by the way, just to let you know, we're going to up our production. We're going to push it to the limit here.
Is this Iraq or Iran?
Iraq.
Okay.
I think Iran is in on it too. So they're looking to ramp up production, and now oil drops about 3%. There's a build on API after the close today, about 4.5 million barrels, compared to last week's draw of about 1 million barrels, another 2% down. I just wonder if OPEC continues to cry wolf, if they're going to be on this kind of slippery slope of having people not believe what they say, because this is the third time now they've come out with this kind of commentary. And in the end, nobody can agree on it. And if, in fact, they're coming out with that commentary and a week later, Iraq says, part of OPEC and some of the other players are, hey, you know what? We're not doing that. I mean, doesn't everybody start to get the idea that they did it to raise prices?
Well, that's what it's going to start to look like. And so that's going to end.
They're going to come up
after about three cycles. I think they can do it a couple times.
They come up with another scheme.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, this is the same thing with all of these. I mean, the trial balloons being sent up by various, you know, the ECB with their banking hoo-ha last week, trying to revive, oh, Italy banks are okay, they're just going to be fine. They're falling apart and crumbling. And, you know, you look at Deutsche Bank and you look at all these other places, you look around the world with the prop up of markets. You just have to wonder how long people are going to buy into this crap. Well, I guess they keep buying into it as long as they keep getting free money.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
Just like, go along with the program until the program fails,
right,
which can happen any minute.
Right. Eat as much sugar as you can until you just go into a diabetic shock.
Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, so it tastes good while we're there and we're having a lot of fun. A little punch bowl discussion. So last week on the Disciplined Investor podcast, I had a pretty interesting guy regarding Bitcoin. Because I wanted to talk about this, some recent rulings and some things that happened in a case in Miami and everything happens in Florida. And I was wondering, you know, what people are thinking these days about Bitcoin. Because we saw that a couple of weeks back or a month back, there was another heist.
Yeah, heist.
Another Bitcoin heist. Like $65 million worth of Bitcoin. And you and I talked about it. Once it's gone, it's gone. Right? That's the whole point, isn't it?
I guess.
Where's it go? How do you can't trace it. That's the whole point of it, isn't it?
No. Well, yeah. No, it's gone. It's just some number in the ether.
Yep. So what I thought we would do for our listeners and to create further interaction is to have a little poll. Nothing major. Go over to DH Unplugged. It'll be only live for a few days here, so we're not going to run this forever. You can only vote once, by the way. There's a little on the sidebar. There's a Bitcoin poll. It's been running for about a day now or so. And let's see where we are now. The question is Bitcoin a viable currency? And the possible answers are definitely, not quite sure, and absolutely not. Now, I threw in that not quite sure just for the hell of it.
Yes.
And it's garnering most of the votes.
Yeah, so that's what I voted.
Maybe I shouldn't have done that. Maybe I should have just had yes or no.
Yeah, or then you could add it. Yeah. Well, no, I think it's better.
So we have definitely definitely a viable currency, 35% of the voters. Not quite sure, 50%, and absolutely not 15%. Although, if you look at this, it obviously leans towards, yes, this is a viable currency. I mean, this poll.
Yeah, that poll.
Whatever.
Self-selecting poll of computer nerds.
Yeah, exactly.
They're always going to trend toward that.
Right.
If you had your normal man on the street, they would go, what's Bitcoin?
Right. Do you have, besides?
I do not have a Bitcoin.
We have a little account. I think we have maybe point something, 0.002 Bitcoins or something like that.
It's another one of those opportunities missed. I think at one point you could buy a bunch of Bitcoins for a dollar or something like that.
Hmm. We'll see how this goes. Anyway, you can vote over on DH Unplugged on the right sidebar. There's a poll there that will be up, and we'll have the results on there for a little while after the poll is closed. I think it's going to close maybe Friday or Saturday of this week. But run right over. You never know what's going to be in the grab bag. All right, Best Buy we talked about. Oh, I thought this was interesting. Did we talk about Hampton Creek and the... Oh, no, what's it? The product called Just Mayo?
No.
Oh, this
definitely
is...
Definitely not.
I think it's called Just Mayo. We got to look that up. I'm going to look this up.
Just Mayo?
I think it's called Just Mayo.
And it's about mayonnaise?
Yeah, mayonnaise. Hampton, yeah, that's what it's called. Just Mayo. Just Mayo means giving your body something that feels good, with less cholesterol, but still tastes like what you want, without ever having to break the bank. It has canola oil, water, white vinegar, 2% or less of the following: organic salt, pea protein, and other stuff.
Pea protein?
I think it's PEA, not PEA.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah.
pea protein. Anyway, so here's, you want to hear about a great deal. So I guess this guy got the idea. He's like, you know, all these companies out there, what are they doing to prop up their earnings? They're going out there and they're doing share buybacks. They're borrowing money and they're essentially buying back the shares of their company. So this smart fella decided, you know what he's going to do to make himself look good as a private company? He's going to go out and he's going to go buy up and send out all these different, consultants or, you know, buyers. He's going to actually send out buyers to buy up all the mayo and all the different stores he sells them to.
Okay.
For the idea that then he can say...
Yes, this is like it's like chumming, you know, when you throw some fish in the water.
Yeah. So he goes and he buys up he sells it to Kroger, let's say, and he sends in a bunch of guys to buy it from Kroger. Kroger buys more.
This guy must have been used to be a gangster. This is the kind of thing horse racing guys do. They go from track to track, and there's this really very interesting scam where with parimutuel betting, you can change the odds by going to smaller tracks and then doing the betting, what's it called, off race track, whatever it is.
OTB, off track betting.
Yeah, off track betting. You can run up the numbers and then bet heavily at the track at the very end, at the track that you're at, with the new adjusted numbers that give you better odds for a ringer, and it's like some elaborate scam. This sounds kind of like that.
Yeah, because he makes it look like for Kroger's like, oh, we got to order more of this stuff. Now, obviously, this little Ponzi scheme ends one day.
Ponzi scheme.
What, I don't know what this mayo scheme.
I don't know what else you could call it.
Right. So he goes, and now there's a variety of, I guess it's the Security Exchange Commission.
So this is his version of a buyback scheme.
Yeah, it seems that way.
What has Securities Exchange got to do with it? He's not a publicly held company.
I don't know. Let's see. Yeah, I don't know. Security Exchange Commission is looking into whether San Francisco-based food technology startup, makes mayonnaise.
Oh, he must have some. He must have been distributing private stock.
Possibly, yeah.
That'll get you in trouble with the SEC.
Broke the law by not disclosing that it was buying its own vegan mayonnaise from stores, which made the product look more successful than it was, according to people familiar with the matter. The agency is trying to determine whether Josh Tetrick's Hampton Creek Inc. improperly recognized revenue from purchases made with company money. Now, but again, I don't see this any different than the share buybacks. Share buybacks are legal. You buy your own company stock.
Well, I think that, with share buybacks, I could be wrong, but you can tell me if I am, which is, don't you have to like announce that? You just can't do it casually behind everyone's back.
Yeah. Obviously, there is a more of a, and it's also because of a publicly traded company, but you do an announcement, there's a form filed, et cetera. Maybe if he filed the right form.
Yeah, that's it. He's going to do a mayo buyback.
Yeah, I'm going to do the mayo buyback form. We're going to be buying, we have a program that will buy back 20% of the shelf from stores around. And he had all these people doing it. He gave out money. And then, so if.
Well, I got another little twist to this.
Yeah.
What if he bought back the mayo and then gave it to the homeless?
Oh.
Remember, we talked about this idea before where the drug companies, whoever they are buying back a certain amount of their own product to give away so they can keep the product price propped up, or there's some scam involved.
What they're doing is they're giving money to charities. The charities are then providing the money for the people.
They're buying, right.
Yeah. So if he were to donate money to charities and charities had to go out and buy the mayonnaise.
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah, see, this guy's not smart. This guy's just not smart. You got the Mayo charity that you know, for people that are, you know, totally under mayoed.
Yeah, they need more mayo in their life.
And, you know, people, you could send them out and you say, you know,
go for on a sandwich.
Yeah, sandwich. You can make Russian dressing out of it. You could make a mustard sauce out of it. There's all sorts of things you could do with it.
Oh, yeah. It's endless.
And, you know, this is...
I wonder what this mayo tastes like. Now you have my curiosity. It's got to taste gosh awful. There's no eggs in it.
There's no eggs. Did you read that? Is that what this is?
It's vegan. It's vegan.
It's got 4.5 stars on Amazon. Gluten-free. You know why? Because it's gluten-free. If it's gluten-free, you get stars, for God's sake.
Mayo is always gluten-free. Plain mayo is.
Non-GMO, gluten-free, soy-free. Yeah, what does mayo have in it that says gluten?
Nothing.
So you just say it's gluten-free. And so does Hellman's mayonnaise say gluten-free?
Yes. How would it have gluten in it? It's a product of wheat.
Soy-free, egg-free, 30-ounce jar. Yeah, it's not. Here, Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. But they probably don't say it's gluten free.
Yeah, because only a moron wouldn't know that it was gluten free.
Made with real simple, like cage free eggs, oil, and vinegar.
The Hellman's?
Yeah.
Okay.
So an egg isn't, you know.
An egg is not vegan.
Well, that's the problem. So it's not vegan, but it is gluten free.
As far as I know, yeah.
I don't know. So you think this guy is a genius or an idiot?
I think he's got a screw loose. This is what happens when you don't get enough protein in your diet.
See, this is exactly right, isn't it? This is the problem.
Yeah. Everybody I know has turned vegan. They kind of just dropped their IQ at least 10 points.
Right. It's like they're perpetually smoking pot.
Hey, man. Yeah. I wasn't smoking any pot.
And they start dressing weird. And their hair gets really kind of kinky.
Well, the hair goes in the skin. Sometimes it gets this little,
yeah,
this mass spider web effect. It looks like a little spider web.
And they kind of get drawn in and stuff like that. Yeah. And then, yeah.
Yeah.
I have people that I go out with and they're like, you know, what do you want for dinner? Well, nothing with, what do they say? Ears or eyes. So I'm like, okay, so ears, eyes, or a mouth.
Okay. So steak's okay?
No, it's not good. It started out with a.
There's no, started out.
Yeah. But I'm like, what about corn? Corn comes on an ear. What about a freaking potato? It's got eyes. It's not the same.
You're just making fun of them.
I am making, yes, correct. I'm glad you caught on because they didn't.
It's an ear of corn.
Yeah, exactly. You know, poor people, I'll start naming these things and they won't eat anything. Just be eating non-GMO Hampton's Creek.
I heard a very interesting thing. You can throw this out next time you run into these people because they won't drink milk either. Because if they're vegan, and you could say you can take a carrot, you can take a fruit, and you can take a kale, and you can take a glass of milk. Which one of those four items was designed from the beginning to be food?
Yeah, well, I understand that. Well, when people don't eat meat, I say to them, listen, look at my teeth. I got two canines in the front for ripping. Isn't that meant for meat? It's not meant for crunching a carrot. That's the back teeth. I got the two canines. Or four canines. Yeah. Four canines.
Four.
Anyway, but I thought it was really interesting from a business standpoint on the topic of just how much do you think you can get away with. And this guy's going to get, you know, slammed for obviously this whole thing. But
I'd like to know what he did that was against the law.
I guess it was that he propped up his what ended up why the SEC is probably involved is that he propped up his earnings probably to sell more shares, to prop up the valuation, to make it all look better, and it was a lie. There wasn't the sales. Now you say, well, it was sales. Yes, it was. And maybe they posted the expenses of the differential, the margin of selling it versus buying it. So maybe, I don't know, 3% spread or whatever it is. They sell it for $1. They buy it for $1.10.
He was just practicing arbitrage.
Right, exactly. He's buying it back because he thinks it's going to be worth a lot more later.
Yeah.
He's collecting.
Because as we know, mayonnaise never goes bad.
That's right. It's a mayonnaise collector. He's got a whole army full of it. All right, now let's talk about Louisiana, Baton Rouge. This area, this gets clobbered, doesn't it?
Oh.
President Obama is going to be touring, I guess today he went, and he toured, I think it was today, he toured the area. I mean, do you have anything, what's going on there? Is this global warming? This is...
No, it's just one of those things that happens every 1,000 years or whenever. I mean, it was just an unfortunate... How much rain did you get when this was going on?
Not much.
Yeah, I guess this was getting, it was just... hitting Louisiana, and that was it.
Yeah.
It's raining and raining and raining and raining, and I guess all these places aren't even... You know, I've always look at these floods and say, well, I bet you if you look at a map, you'll see it was a flood zone, and most of them are, especially in the Midwest, especially around the Mississippi.
Right. A lot of the houses there, I think, were in areas that did not require flood insurance. Of course, even if you're in Louisiana and you're in an area that it could be prone to floods, if you're not in and required to have flood insurance, you don't buy it.
No, you don't, especially if it's in an area that's never had a known flood.
Right. I think that's the best place to buy insurance for.
Well, it's got to be cheap.
Right, exactly. It's got to be cheap.
Yeah.
And you just protect yourself. But now, of course, FEMA's going to get involved. It's going to be a whole disaster. You know.
I've never seen anything quite like it. Mm.
Now, I thought that it was very interesting. I saw an email that I got today from the St. Louis Fed. St. Louis Fed's actually a cool Fed site. They have a lot of good information there. They have a lot of...
You got an email from them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And they said, hey, we got something. I get emails regularly. I'm on their mailing list. And they said, we have a new, or at least something we want to introduce you to, pretty new, a game. It's called an economic forecasting game from the St. Louis Fed, Fredcast. Players, now listen to this. Now, tell me if you find any level of familiarity with what I'm about to say, okay?
I'm already there.
Fredcast players give their best predictions for four important economic indicators, GDP, unemployment, employment, and the consumer price index. GDP, employment, unemployment, and the consumer. I wonder what the difference between employment and unemployment is in terms of, anyway. Forecasts are then compared with the actual release numbers and scored for accuracy. Players can judge their performance by looking at their own rankings within leagues or among other Fredcast users. I think they're listening.
Well, it won't be as exciting as our game.
Yeah, awfully, awfully similar, I thought. Awfully similar. Well, of course, we're talking about the DH Unplugged Close to the Pin, which we're going to get to in a moment. Before we do that, I have to mention this fabulous story and an amazing opportunity that presented itself last week for somebody that wanted to be very aggressive and go against the grain. And that was a news item that we saw that hit the screen about a Department of Justice memo that went out suggesting that they want to get rid of the private prison system.
Right.
You saw this?
Yeah.
They want to get rid of the private prison system because of some BS statistics about prisoners and what they're paying and the treatment and the use of the facilities, etc. Because we know that, of course, the government can do a much better job at controlling costs than a private company can. Not. So this comes out. Two publicly traded prisons, Corrections Corporation, CXW is the symbol, and Geocorp, GEO is the symbol, plummeted. They halted the stock four or five times.
You know, we saw this coming. There were some hints about this. We should have shorted it for our game or in real life.
I didn't know where the hints were. Where are the hints?
There were hints.
Who hinted? Where? When did you see him? Because well, you know what? If you saw the hints, you should have brought it up. You can't lay it on me.
Well, there were hints.
Okay. Hints that were hidden even from you.
No, there were hints. There were pretty obvious hints. I saw this coming down Broadway.
All right. Well, this is one of those.
I just screwed up. This is my mistake.
Okay, this is one of those moments.
Terrible.
This is one of those moments. When you find yourself loving a product and you realize that, boy, a lot of people really like that product. Or, you know, I'm seeing a particular trend going on. Don't just overlook it. You know, if you love Under Armour, and you see that a lot of people are wearing it, all these athletes are wearing it, all that, maybe it's a thing that you want to look into as a stock.
Yes.
So anyway, the Department of Justice puts out this memo. Now, when I read the memo, I was really interested because they were dealing with federal prisoners only.
Right. Which only accounts for 7% of all revenues for CCA, for example.
Right. CXW. CCA, what's that? Correctional Corporate America?
Correct. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. CXW is a symbol. Right. And I think 16% for GEO or whatever it was. And the thing is, number one, it's only going to be if it actually is enacted for federal, number one. Number two, the states, well, they can go along with it if they want. However, we're not quite sure they're going to go along with it because then they have to start, what are they going to do, tear down these places? or just drive them into bankruptcy, then take over the prisons. That could be.
I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen.
In the meantime, where are the prisoners go? They're going to stay up at the Holiday Inn or something? I mean, until they get this done? So that was a couple of things that were interesting. And then finally, and more importantly, I think, of all this, was it was a suggestive memo with no dates, kind of like an action they want to maybe bring about, they want to talk about, but it was nothing that was absolute. Stocks are down about 40-50%. Once everybody sort of cleared the, you know, cleared the news and started thinking a little more clearly, stocks are up like 20-25% the next day.
Yeah.
Now, they were down about 5% today. I think there's still going to be a major overhang on these stocks. I don't know how much more downside they have if they're only going to lose, only, quote unquote, lose 15 or maybe 20% of their revenue if this deal goes through, if this actually happens. You'd have to say the stock could be down 20-30%. It's kind of where it is now.
Right.
So just a little thing I thought was very interesting about...
Well, you think there's a rebound opportunity here?
I think it happened already. This 18 on Geo was really interesting. 14 on CXW was interesting. Okay. There is definitely a rebound opportunity, and because both companies came out with a press conference saying that, you know what, this is not going to affect us until anything happens, by the way. So right now, when you look at this, you have to realize that this is sometime in the future, if at all. So there's definitely, the next earnings should be fine. Maybe even the earnings after that should be fine. So I don't know. I don't think this is going to get done. I don't see where they're going to go. Do you?
No, not really. I don't like these companies.
All right, well, we could short them. It's up to you.
No, I'm not going to short them.
All right, let's mention that if you love the show, of course, just a little hint if you want to get some other great ideas and you're really enjoying, laughing, having a great time. Can't actually start your week until you listen to John and me. You can think about donating to the show. There's a little link on DH Unplugged. And if you find yourself saying right now, yeah, I think I'm going to do that. And then you know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen, right?
No.
Later, they're going to forget about it.
Yeah, that's true. They should do it this second.
Just stop the tape because you could do that. You know, this isn't a live stream. You're not going to miss anything right now. Stop the tape, take 1 second, click the button, and donate. And you'll get a personalized thank you note from us.
Is that right?
Yeah. I thank everybody that donates. I think it's our, and I sign your name.
Oh, enough. So is my wife.
A lot of stuff behind the scenes that you don't know about. probably the same at your house, too, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure there's lots of stuff I don't know about.
All right, let's talk about closest to the pin. This was kind of interesting. Shake Shack. We're going to announce the winner of Shake Shack. And I got to tell you, finally, the system, this whole system of this took a little bit of time to work out some of the wrinkles. Yeah. Because when somebody wins, they automatically get an email saying, hey, congratulations. The system automatically sends them an email. But what's happening is the first two places were getting emails in the past. So people are like, where's my shirt? I'm like, you didn't win. I didn't realize what was going on.
It was sending out
the winner and the runner-up.
Oh, where's my shirt?
I was like, oh. Anyway, but the winner was Leonard B. Now, Leonard B. came in 1 cent.
Wow. Is that the closest ever?
I think we've had a couple. I think we had one guy spot on.
Okay.
But what was interesting about this was, you remember something. This was when... Shake Shack was probably about 14% higher or so when we put this out. As a matter of fact, the stock closed at $35.81 on the final. The average price for the entries of all the people, we had probably close to 100 people or so, was $39.52. You were at $39.59. I was at $38.18, closed at $35.81. And this is after the earnings came out and they crapped the bed.
Yeah.
And the stock went down. So this is a pretty good number.
This was also a good game, this particular game.
Yeah, very good. And we have one coming up, by the way. I thought people would enjoy this one. We're going to do Twitter.
Yeah, I saw that. The funny thing is, you tweeted it.
Yep, I tweeted the Twitter. So you can find out all about this.
Yeah, that was kind of challenging, too.
Oh, no kidding. Who knows what's going to happen with that one. And we have these great new interactive charts and all sorts of stuff you can see right on that. A quick registration is required. Keep away the riffraff from our game. And you can put in your guess.
Riffraff.
You put in your guess. That one is going to be August 9th is the final number. I think you have till August 2nd to put in your price guess. And then, of course, you'll get a one-of-a-kind, none other similar, DH Unplugged, mayonnaise-soaked t-shirt.
No mayonnaise.
No mayonnaise. No mayonnaise on the t-shirt, but a DH Unplugged t-shirt that's awfully cool and a collector's item. If you can try to be a size small, if you win, we have a lot of extra smalls. People are usually large.
Well, actually, you know, I would recommend someone win and then get a small and give it to their wife or their daughter or whoever might wear a small in the family. Yeah.
And by the way, when you win, I really want a picture of you in the shirt. We'll put it up on the site. So anybody that's won.
Yes, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. We don't, you know.
Especially if you're good looking.
Yeah, well, of course. And if your daughter's over the age of 21 and you put it on her, send us that picture too.
Yeah. Or, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Quick update on the Global Millennials Thematic ETF Challenge against the old codgers. We're losing miserably, buddy.
Well, you know, those aren't the stocks I would have picked.
I'm throwing you
under the bus for the selection.
What do you picked?
Well, what do you got? Give me the list again.
I got DaVita, which is a dialysis and healthcare company.
Okay. I had to stick with that. Sure.
Tootsie Roll.
See, no, I wouldn't have
done
that.
Not Tootsie Roll.
No.
ExxonMobil?
Yeah.
Sears?
Well, you know, yeah, I can see the rationale, but I that's a dying company. I wouldn't have done it.
You want the whole list?
Yeah. So I can condemn you for each one of these picks.
All right, one second. I'll give you the whole list. Let me find it. Okay, the whole list. It's opening up. Let's see here. All right. Here is the actual list. Click.
Can I ask a couple of questions before you? Because I don't have the list in front of me, so I don't remember the picks.
Yeah.
Was Ford on there?
I thought we had one in here. Let's see here.
See, to me, Ford's an old codger's pick.
No, we don't have Ford. No.
Nope. Uh-huh. Got American. What about U.S. Steel X?
I don't know if that's U.S. Steel.
Yeah, see again.
All right, let me give you a couple of the names that maybe you like, okay? Gannett.
Okay. Well, again, I think even the oldest of the old farts knows that the newspaper industry is not going anywhere.
All right. Campbell Soup?
Yeah, that's okay.
Altria?
I don't even know who they are.
Cigarettes. Philip Morris.
Oh, the cigarette company. Yeah, you'd have to go with that. But that's because I think they're going to get into the marijuana game, and that'll be a plus.
Here's one which is the best performer, by the way, which I think really works. Callaway Golf?
Definitely.
It's a 25% up.
Yeah.
Sears,
definitely.
Yeah. Let's see. Procter & Gamble, American Express, Hormel.
Hormel, I wouldn't.
All right, how about this one?
But
Denny's.
Denny's?
Yeah. That's a good one.
Well, see, here's what I think you did.
What I do?
And I think we need to restart this.
Oh, okay. What I do?
I think what you did was you were cynical with these picks.
No, I wasn't cynical at all.
You definitely were. You didn't discuss it with me.
That's true.
You were totally cynical because Denny's is a cynical pick.
Why is it cynical? It's old people are in there all the time. I mean,
but that's not what an old. That's not. Okay.
All right. So why don't you put together? Listen, why don't you put together a list?
See, now you're having me do work, which you know me. You know, this is never going to happen if I have to do something.
Come on.
You just do it together on the show.
Okay. Well, you want to do it next show?
Yes.
But you have to be prepared. You can't just be coming out of your tuchus.
I'm coming out of my tuchus with. I've already thought about this. Ford. U.S. Steel, a couple of these other kinds of companies that are just, you know, old standbys, old blue chips, the kind of stuff an old fart would invest in.
So you came up with two stocks. So I'm very impressed so far. This is impressive.
I can have 20 of these stocks.
Okay, well, you need to come up with these names. I mean, Ford is fine versus, let's say, a Tesla, as an example. I tried to find,
No, Tesla's out. Tesla would not be.
Of course. Good. But I tried to find things like Walgreens Boots Alliance.
I'd go with that.
Okay. Goldman Sachs.
Definitely.
Anheuser-Busch.
Definitely. Well, is that it now? Isn't it consolidated or is it Constellation? Who is it?
It's still under the symbol, but it's Anheuser-Busch InBev S.A.
InBev, that's who it is. Yes, I would say definitely that's a great company.
Kroger.
No, I don't think so.
They get their food delivered from Blue Apron, for God's sakes. They don't go shopping.
With the old farts?
Yeah.
I think, see, there you go again. This is you.
I'm trying to do the antithesis.
You're stereotyping.
I'm trying to do the antithesis of millennials. Millennials.
Well, that's fine, but I don't think you have to do it in such a way that it's like mocking with companies like Denny's.
How about the utility sector ETF?
Okay.
That one's good. Well, I will copy and paste this list to you. Let's see if I can do this. I'm going to copy and paste this list. Let's see here. And I'm going to send it to you. Compose. Doing it online here. Old farts. I'm just calling it, okay? I'm going to paste it. That doesn't work. B. Okay. Sending.
Okay.
That's my list.
What's the symbol for the Packard Motor Car Company?
They're out of business.
What about Pennsylvania Railroad?
I think probably, one of the railroads. Do we have a railroad in there? Northern.
We definitely need BNSF on there.
All right. Well, just you start writing, scratch this down on paper.
Yeah.
All right. And then we'll take a look at it. So, and it's not just because we're losing. It's because you just don't like the picks. But I get it. I understand. Yeah. All right.
It was the Tootsie Roll one that I think.
Threw you. But it's candies. It's got all sorts of old crappy, sugary.
Old people can't eat candy. They're all but diabetics.
That's true. That's a good point there. That's why we have the DaVita in there.
Yeah, you can't have the dialysis company and then a candy company. That's just no good.
No good. We're killing them off before they even can.
Oh, good.
Yeah, poor fellas. Okay. All right. This Thursday coming up, Volkswagen must provide an update on its regulatory approval to fix 8.5 million diesel engines in the part of a settlement before the U.S. District Judge Charles Breyer. This deadline comes in the wake of the automaker's emission scandal. So they're going to probably delay this.
They have to. I mean, if you owned a Volkswagen diesel, would you want it fixed?
Nope.
God, no.
Nope. I just want the money.
I take the money.
Give me my 10 grand. I'm done.
But I would keep the engine's strong. It's a great little engine.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, just a massive polluter.
Right.
But that's why it's so good.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, the Olympics have come and gone.
Right.
I miss some of the things that I usually like to watch. I saw just one little match of ping pong that I like.
I saw a match of ping pong. Ping pong's great. Yep. I think they should play that up. I also like, as obscurities, I love badminton.
Badminton, I love. That's the second one I was going to mention.
Yeah, badminton's great. And some volleyball's okay.
By the way, for the audience that doesn't know what that means women's beach volleyball is okay. That's what he was saying.
That is exactly what we mean. And I agree. I was missing a couple of things.
Gymnastics.
I did see some fencing.
Oh, you did?
Gymnastics, gymnastics and women's swimming, they're doing the gymnastics thing because we're going to beat everybody. And it's very emotional. And so what the networks love or NBC loves is they get, the emotion of somebody falling off the beam and then crying and they zoom in. Oh, I talked about this in the No Agenda show. You know, they just want the little girls to cry and it gets the audience all sad. And I think it's actually exploitation. I wanted to see sharpshooting.
And what happened to that?
They had it, but they didn't show it because, it's guns.
But and for what reason do they actually televise a marathon?
I have no idea.
Have you ever seen something so boring in your life?
It's the worst.
I just don't understand it.
Actually, everything over 5,000 meters is too boring. Yeah. It's bad.
But, the swimming is great and all that. So, but let's just touch on, just for a moment, this Ryan Lochte shenanigans. Yeah. What an idiot. He lost a bunch of sponsorships already.
He's just a jock idiot. There's a bunch of these guys.
I mean, who in their right mind goes out and gets piss-ass drunk, goes and pees inside on the walls inside of a gas station and decides that it's going to be fun to beat the bathroom up and then lie about it, run home, and leave his friends to take the rap?
Yeah. Well, allegedly. That was the craziest thing ever. Yeah. But it added to the American mystique.
Now, one stock that you would think would do really well, for the Olympics, you think of stocks. What companies will do well for the Olympics? Well, you got to think maybe the network TV stations, maybe the television companies that people are like, hey, you know what? The Olympics are coming. I'm getting that 65-incher, right? Another company you would think would do well is Lazy Boy.
Yes.
I'm going to sit in my...
This is your specialty. Yeah. You're good at this.
However, Lazy Boy came in, missed their earnings guidance, and their outlook was very soft. Stock down 15% tonight.
So that would have been a bad pick.
Bad pick. I wonder what is going on there. People are comfortable in beanbags again.
I don't know.
By the way,
I usually don't buy new furniture just because the Olympics are
on. No, people don't say, I need a couch. The Olympics are coming on. No.
I do think the television sales would have some impact.
Maybe that's why Best Buy did well.
Oh, now there you go.
Yeah.
That is a possibility.
By the way, do you have any beanbags?
No.
I have 3 beanbags.
I used to love beanbags in the probably around 1972, 73.
They have a particular use that is excellent. At first, I was very resistant to this. Very resistant.
Yeah?
For long-haul boat trips, like when I went to Bimini, we put 2 beanbags in the back. We're on big, we hit some pretty good waves. Some, you know, the seas were pretty rough on the way over. Sit in the beanbag chairs in the back, you have no thought of what's going on. You're happy as can be.
Huh.
Great place to sit on a rocky boat.
Better than a hard chair where you get knocked around.
Yeah, no, this is the perfect seat on a boat. Low down.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's been exploited.
No, this could be something. I'd like to give a very, and actually I'm going to speak for John as well. I'd like to give a congratulations out there. We know you're listening, by the way. Congratulations to Bill Gates. His net worth now hit $90 billion. $90 billion.
Well, he's not going to make it to a trillion, so.
Yeah. What a weak bastard. Tesla Motors announcing a large battery pack, a larger one, a 100 kilowatt up from the 90 kilowatt for extended old EV. Electric. What is EV?
Yeah, it also gives you a little more oomph.
Did I send this to you, the article about people are using Tesla as outdoor tents? It's like a new Tesla camping thing. Seriously.
The Tesla with the wings?
No, you get a Tesla because you could put it in the woods, it seems. Listen to this. And you could leave the car running all night for heat and stuff like that. There's a whole bunch of articles about this new thing about Tesla camping. So your seat in some of the cars recline all the way back, make it very comfortable and easy for sleeping. You can actually lock your doors. You can put, dim the lights and all that. Keep the car running for heat, for circulation and all that stuff. And it doesn't make a sound, doesn't pollute, and you can run it all night. Seriously. I don't know exactly who's involved in this, but I'm telling you, if you look this up, you'll see it. Tesla
camping. I think I've seen some references to it. It sounds like something that came out of the Tesla PR department.
Yeah, Tesla camping.
Well, I hope you're not too far away because it must take a few miles off the engine.
I guess. And finally, we talked about this high-risk car loans, the subprime lending in the car area.
Yeah, and by the way, I don't think that's new, but...
Which part? The subprime?
No, I mean, people have been getting car loans that forever.
But these days, interest rates are a lot lower. They're trying to... A lot of these companies like Ford are giving away a lot of incentives, trying to sell cars. That's, keep the whole thing rolling. Well, Santander, which is symbol SC, which has had a pretty rough ride of it.
Right, there's that bank.
Yeah, they do consumer loans not specifically, but a lot of automobile loans and subprime. They're delaying their filing for their 10Q for the quarter ending June 30th. Beyond the August 15th extended filing date. Thank you, by the way, on August 23rd for telling us that today. But they do not foresee a material interruption related to the delayed filing, whatever the hell that means. Whenever you see a delayed filing, 2 things are going to happen. 1, probability is that people are going to be selling off because they're like, what the hell is going on? The second thing is when they come out with their filing, shorts are going to get squeezed at least for a couple of days. So an interesting little thing to look at.
Hmm.
And finally, you're not writing about your 30 years anymore, right?
No, I get my last episode comes out tomorrow.
And it's going to be the final, what years is that covering?
2006 to 2016.
Very nice.
Very grim.
So again, I think looking back on the 3 decades, the different decades, which is your favorite?
I think the second one.
Much more technology evolution.
Well, that was from, let's see, 96 to 2000. No, well, my favorite was probably the first one, but when you had that period to 1986 and 1996, that was great. I mean, there was really nothing wrong, and everyone's having a good time. And everything was exciting.
And you were 96, and you were invited to everything back then.
Oh yeah, I got invited to everything. I got flown all over the place. I've been everywhere.
Yeah.
And on somebody else's dime. Right. Fantastic.
Right.
but 96 to 2006 was kind of the most interesting because you were still in the go-go part of it in 96, and then it hit that wall in 99, and then there was a collapse of the dot-com collapse, the Y2K fiasco and collapse, and then 9/11. Bang, bang, bang. It just sunk the whole place. The whole thing, the whole boat went down.
Yep, yep.
Very interesting to go through that.
I hope somebody goes over that Y2K one of these days. What a scam.
Y2K, I love that. I used to do a counter. You know, I got a lot of speaking gigs in 99 and 2000, for, or actually 98, 99, just before Y2K, because everybody was in on the Y2K game, and they were given books were coming out, and we're all going to die, and the entire grid's going to fall apart. I mean, the internet wasn't even that connected back then, but okay. All this bad thing. You're not going to get your money out of the bank. The banks are going to be bankrupt. All these horror stories. And I knew guys that were making serious money consulting and doing all this other stuff, just soaking these big corporations. And I was doing a counter speech, Y2K fiasco speech, where I was exaggerating everything and then making it clear that I don't think anything's going to happen, which it didn't.
Right.
And there was a lot of money to be made during this period in one way or another, but it wasn't healthy.
Did you ever hear of one computer malfunctioning because of it?
No.
Not one. You would think that somebody would have, hey, look at this computer. It stopped working.
And I know the way that goes. It goes like this. Let's say I'm a Y2K promoter. Oh, Y2K is going to kill everybody. And now that we come and go, nothing happens. Now you give me that, ask me this.
Have you ever found a computer that doesn't work?
Oh, no, but it's largely because we got the word out and we fixed a lot of these problems in advance.
Right. Thank you so much for doing that. We'll hire you for the next potential problem so they could be, you know, we want to make sure we get the word out. stupid. All right, let's get to the game. This is not a recommendation to buy or sell any security. It's not anything more than a game that we play each and every week. DH Unplugged Weekly Stock Picks. If any of the stocks are owned by myself, Horowitz Company Clients, or John C. Dvorak, we will make sure to disclose that. All of the stocks can be tracked directly on DH Unplugged. Just click the weekly stock picks, and you can see what's going on there. And by the way, that's where people... You got something... What was it? Sevcon? No. Oh, Applied Optoelectronics.
Yeah.
That's what we got the donation for today.
Oh, okay.
Somebody said, thank you for that. I like listening to you, but I'm paying you for that.
We should be paying to listen.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there you go. Here you go.
Okay. Well, we're back on track here. This usually happens around August for some reason. All green. We have no stocks in the red, and we don't have any stocks that have been kicked off the list.
Yeah. Pretty good.
So we're smoking hot.
Yeah. Still got neck and neck with Express and Barclays.
Yeah. Barclays is our dual pick. And then Express Inc. is your pick, which is the triple bottom bounce. And I have one good insider's one's looking pretty good. It's got eight up. Your Shake Shack short. And there's nothing like a Shake Shack short.
Right.
If you can say it over and over. Fantastic. You're up 14% on that little guy. Viper Energy Partners, which is a new pick by me, is up. And I have a stock... You got anything? You get something? Is this good fundies upside? Whatever this
is. Yeah. So I have Sensata Technology Holdings. They make they're a device company. They make some of the sensors for heating, motion, a variety of different things that can be then translated to an electrical instrumentation or reading it. So in other words, if something is overheating, if you have a device or something, and you know, let's say a car. You know, you have a situation where something's too hot. Well, it will, you know, come up and tell you what the heat is, or maybe it's a meter, or maybe it's a light. They have also things that are pressure oriented. There's a variety of things for the aerospace and car, as well as other technologies. So this is kind of, they're in a lot of different areas. They have a lot of employees. Their numbers in terms of fundamentals are great. There's some upside air on the chart. If you look at it now, obviously the market cooperates, but it just looks like a potential. A very good play with excellent fundamentals. Nothing like crazy about it, but you know, it looks like it has an opportunity.
Well, I've got one.
Oh, what you got?
Now, this is based, I got the idea from the insider that bought, oh, I don't know, $75 or $80 million worth.
I hope you're not going to say Netflix again, for God's sakes, because you went through that path last week.
That would be funny, though. 20th Century Fox.
Oh, who's buying?
FOXA. The guy who's buying is Jeffrey Ubben, or Ubben. And he's I like to look at their track record. He's not a big trader, doesn't trade a lot. But when he trades, for example, he was buying into He was buying into Valeant Pharmaceuticals International, and he was bought heavily. He bought $50-60 million worth over a period of time at 142-139, and he dumped his whole lot for $1 billion, actually 920 million.
What price did he sell it at?
He sold it at 220.
You know where it is now, right?
30, no,
31.
Yeah, well, I believe that, yeah, this, I don't know if this was a...
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and that was a while ago. But he did that. He played that game. And so I said, well, okay, this guy's got a track record as far as I'm concerned. He's never traded Fox that I can see on this list. And he had, he's bought pretty much like 3 million shares, averaging around 25, 26 bucks.
Wow.
And I look at the chart and I say, oh, this chart is fantastic. If this is a, to me, this is a nice chart. It has a, it just looks like an upside possibility here.
Hmm.
I don't know. I mean, it got slammed here and there. I mean, there, maybe there's something coming. He's a director. He must know something.
This is a, 21st Century Fox. It's a movie and production and entertainment company.
Yeah. Well, yep. They're diversified. Yep. They also own News Corp and a bunch of other stuff.
Mm.
So it's not just entertainment. It's if you count Fox News and the Fox Network, those are all entertainment vehicles. So it's also got news in there, but their kind of news is not, it's more entertainment than anything.
Right. Well, we'll get that on the list. Of course, you can follow John C. Dvorak on Twitter at The Real Dvorak. And myself, Andrew Horowitz, one word. You could also listen to The No Agenda Show with John C. Dvorak and Adam Curry. Always a good laugh and good information. And you can find out more about that over on a couple days during the week. I always forget this. It's Sundays and Thursdays. Tuesdays. Tuesdays and Thursdays? Tuesdays and Sundays?
Yeah.
I can't seem to
get this Tuesdays, way. It's the Thursdays and Sundays.
Thursdays and Sundays.
But I'm looking at this Ubben's buying of that drug company, and he got out of it completely, I guess, in 2007.
Oh.
And
but now he's been sitting on the cash looking for something to pounce.
Or maybe it was 2012. He's still sitting on the cash for a long time.
Yeah, I think the 240 number was 2000 and, but no, look at the chart of Valiant, VRX. Let's look at this. VRX. Enter. Let's see what we got here.
Is there some splits or anything involved in this?
It could have been, but let's take a look here. Well,
see, he got out at 200. And I'm looking at all the, you know, the old downgrades, upgrades, and they got, it used to be way up there.
Yeah, yeah, you're Valiant, right.
Yeah, and now it's down to nothing.
Why can't I get this chart? Let's see. I'm going to go to 5 years. Valiant was in 2015, 250. And it came down. This is split adjusted, if there was any. This is the stock. We know this is the stock that got crushed because of the, you know, with Ackman and all those guys. This killed the hedge fund industry.
Right, right. Now I remember this. Well, this guy made out.
Yeah, damn well made out.
Get out he the got 200s. Out at 220 and now sitting there. The thing he should have done, well, you know, if you can't, he was a board member, but I don't know if you're a board member, can you short your own company? I don't think so.
You can probably buy some options against it or something like that.
You buy some puts.
Yeah. I also think Nintendo's done for. That's another
you do?
Yeah. I think the whole thing is over. The whole excitement is over. We'll see what happens with that. But not an exciting thing. I think it was a big flash in the pan and that's it.
Well, yeah.
And now they're going to put all this work into trying to make some money out of it. It's going to cost them all sorts of money, and they're going to have less and less people on there. They didn't capitalize at the right time. Too bad.
No. Gone. No, timing's everything.
Yep, exactly.
Especially with these faddish games. You know, I'm always thinking of Angry Birds and Farmville and some of this other junk.
All right. All right, well, we're going to end it right there. Thanks for listening. Go over to dhunplugged.com and check out all the things that are on there. You can look at the Close to the Pin competition, of course, the Bitcoin poll, as well as the weekly stock picks and all the other things that we have to offer. Quite an interactive experience, if I do say so.
Great.
Yep. Well, I'm going to buy some of that mayonnaise and check it out.
Yeah, definitely. I'll go check out the Best Buy.
Yeah, oh, good idea. All right, I'll see you next week.
All right, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.